Matthew 14, and I'm going to start in verse, let's say 22. Matthew 14, 22, just to get the context of the story. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. Okay, so Jesus and the boys have been ministering. They just handed out food to 5,000 people. It was a great afternoon, right? Problem was is that Jesus just lost his cousin. John the Baptist was just beheaded, and you can imagine the inner turmoil of a person you grew up with, the one who had been the trumpeter of who you are and announcing that you have come, the Messiah has come. He's seen him as a partner in ministry. You know it's that this has happened. Many of Jesus' disciples actually came from John's ministry. This isn't, you know, people that weren't walking together, didn't know each other, weren't ministering together. This is a very interrelated group of people. John the Baptist just dies. All the people come out to him. Jesus has compassion on them. They don't have food. What's he do? He feeds them, heals their sick. And now he's telling his disciples, hey, boys, I need a moment to myself. I'm going to send the crowds away. You go across the lake. The Sea of Galilee is a lake that is 8 miles by 10 miles. It's a large body of water. The disciples get in a boat and they begin to row across the lake. It's evening. We know it's evening. So, you know, I don't know what it would be like to do an 8 mile paddle across a lake when you've been going all day and you're exhausted and everything. I'm imagining that emotions are kind of ragged. Anybody else? John the Baptist just died. Some of those guys had started off following John. Jesus doesn't explain anything to him, he just sends them away. Can you kind of get the dynamic of what's probably happening in this boat? Do you think that they're all happy and go lucky? Do you think they're retelling the story of the food? I don't think they are. I think they're shot. I think they're emotionally strung out. I think that they are just, they're on that edge, and then Jesus tells them to paddle across the lake. So they get in the boat. Look what happens. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. While he sent the crowds away, verse 23, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, and he was there alone. So Jesus is taking a moment for himself. The boat had already gone a long distance. A long distance from the land, battered by the waves. And then look at this, for the wind was contrary. The boat had gone a long distance from the land. It was being battered by the waves because the wind was contrary. Everybody say, the wind was contrary. Okay, what does that mean? The wind is going the opposite direction that they are having to exert themselves to go in. The wind is coming into their face. It's not at their backs. This is a problem. This is a bummer. It says, In the fourth watch of the night, that is my little footnote in my Bible, says that's between 3 and 6 a.m. Okay, how long these boys been at it? All night. They're exhausted, they're frustrated, they're, you know, whatever other word you would describe yourself at 3 to 6 in the morning after exerting yourself all day and then being told by your boss that you have to exert yourself all night. Nobody's happy. While Jesus came walking out of the water, the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Okay, so here's the moment, right? Wind to waves battering. They're tired. They now have this moment where they think they see somebody walking on the water. They cry out, "It's a ghost." Fear has had its moment, but what settles the fear? Jesus' voice. The voice of the Lord settles their fear. So they're not afraid anymore. To the point that verse 28 says, Peter says to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Now, just put a finger right there and pause for a moment. The wind and waves, battering, you're exhausted, you're fried. You see a ghost. You hear the word. It's Jesus. Something rises out of you and says, if it's you, Jesus, then tell me to get out of the boat and walk on the water. Jesus goes, come. Peter, no doubt, no fear, no nothing. What's he do? Hops out the boat. Okay, there's no coast guard. There's no lifeguard. There's not another boat that's going to come save them. They're dressed in, you know, tunics and robes around them. If Peter goes in the water, even if he knows how to tread water, he's going to have a problem. Come out on the water. Peter jumps out the boat and comes out on the water. Now, you tell me, is walking on water a normal thing? What would it require to do something supernatural like that? It's going to require faith. Okay, faith sees what can't be seen. Faith has this hope that rises up in it because it can see this like a shadow in the distance through a mark, you know, a mirror that's dimly lit. You glimpse that this is what's going to happen, and your faith grabs hold of that and then causes you to act upon it. So somewhere in the course of this, Peter saw Jesus and he went, oh, if Jesus can do it, so can I. His faith then demanded that he take action upon this belief that's going on in him. Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come out. What's he do? He jumps out the boat and he ends up standing on the water. This is not a normal thing. This is being done by faith. Peter is accessing a supernatural realm of the kingdom in this moment. It's the same exact thing when you stretch out your hand and you lay it on somebody who is sick and they end up recovering because you laid hands on them. By faith, you accessed what Christ has done, and that by faith, something supernatural happens. It's the same thing that happens when you prophesy. It's the same thing that happens when you minister, you pray for somebody, breakthrough happens. It's the same thing that happens when a demon gets driven out of somebody's life. This same process. It's the same way that you got saved. By faith, you accessed grace. Are you alive tonight? Okay, Peter accessed this thing by faith. Look at what happens next, verse 30. But seeing the wind, everyone say, seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshiped and said, certainly you are God's son. Okay, now just look at this. Peter, by faith, has heard the word of the Lord and is now operating by faith. He has stepped out based upon what he has seen in his own in himself, he has seen that this is possible, and by faith, he has accessed the reality of him doing this. But then it says, but seeing the wind, he became frightened, and as soon as he became frightened, what happens? He began to sink. Your fear fights your faith. Fear is not in the kingdom. Fear is not in the kingdom. It says perfect love casts out fear, and God is perfect love. There is no fear like that in God. In the kingdom, this kind of fear, where you see something with your eyes and then you begin to doubt your faith, that kind of fear, that paralyzes you from being able to continue to do what God just told you to do. Is it possible to start the journey and to be starting to be successful in your journey And then because of what you begin to behold with your eyes around you, you begin to doubt what the Lord had said to you. And now you find yourself not necessarily succeeding in what he told you to do. Hello? Has this ever happened to anybody? Okay, and now the next phrase. But immediately Jesus reached out and, you know, grabbed a hold of him and pulled him up. Praise be to the merciful one who is right there, who's going to pull you out of your circumstances, and he's going to help you, right? Get right back in the boat so you can try her again. The process, and then look at what Jesus says. He goes, why did you doubt? You had faith. You did it. Why did you doubt? Now, ask yourself the question, why did Peter doubt? Because of what he was looking at. Because of what he fixed his eyes upon. Now, we're going someplace tonight, and y'all might not be happy about it when we get there. He fixed his eyes. He saw. He began to see the circumstances that are contrary. Now, the thing is that he had been experiencing those same circumstances the whole time. He had wind in his face all night. He had waves coming at him all night. And when he heard Jesus, he became fearless. When he heard the voice of the Lord, he grabbed hold of it, and he was no longer wind in waves conscious. He fixed his mind in his sight on Christ. He jumps out the boat. Now he's standing on the water. And then when he took his eyes off and he began to focus on what the world was doing, the kingdom stopped coming. I'm hoping you're making some parallel, you know, thought processes into your own life here, because as soon as he took his eyes off of what God had said and began to fix it to take a look about what the world was doing, he no longer had faith to do what God had told him to do. I don't know if you're getting this tonight. Okay. How many think maybe the wind and the waves are kicking up out there? Okay, anybody taking a vacation over to Pakistan anytime soon? Yeah, you got your bags packed? Anyone going to go take a vacation? You know, I don't know. Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. Anybody? Bueller? You had to be like over 40 to even understand that reference right there. My parents told me about it. You know why you're not? It's not because there's not awesome things to see there. It's because of what the world is doing there. It's because the storm that's kicked up. It's because the wind and the waves. It's because of the wind and the waves. Be honest with yourself. Who's moving to Michigan? You're going to go to Dearborn. Who's going to go buy a building in Detroit and plant a church there? You know why you're not there? Because of the wind and the waves. Some might say, well, I'm not called there. I'm not, you know, I didn't hear the voice of the Lord. Ah, see, and that's the key right there, because if you heard the voice of the Lord, then the fear would stop. But let me tell you, the process is that when he calls you and you begin to step out on that, you have to keep your eyes fixed and you have to keep your ears tuned to the voice, to him. Because if you take your eyes off that stuff, you're going to begin to get intimidated. Now, he's there, and he's merciful. He'll grab you right out to sea. He'll pull you right back up. He will help you back in the boat. He's going to help you. Like, you're not going to get left alone. But the calling is very clear. Don't look at the wind and the waves of the world. If you have your focus fixed on what the world is doing, you're going to have a very difficult time living in faith. I say that again. If you have your eyes, watching what the world is doing. You're going to have a difficult time getting into faith, living by faith, because the wind and the waves will be contrary to what God's telling you to do. This is normal. John 14, why don't you flip over there real quick? I'm hoping I can draw some conclusions for you, but I'm hoping also that you'll just get the conclusions without me having to say them. John 14, verse 16. I will ask, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, I'm going to ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, the Paraclete, the one just like me. He will give you a helper that He may be with you forever. Forever.
Ever, 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 ever.
Spare no expense on effects, sound effects here. That He will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Now look at this next statement. Whom the world cannot receive. Okay. The world cannot receive. Now look at what He says next. Because it does not see Him. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because it cannot see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and then will be in you. Now, just let's break down that second part before we look at the first part. Because He abides with you. Okay, where is the Holy Spirit been dwelling the last 3.5 years of the disciples' life? With them, in and on the person of Jesus. Jesus says to him, hey, I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to ask the Father to send the very thing you've been experiencing for 3.5 years in me. It's going to come on you. The Spirit of truth, He is going to not just, He's going to dwell with you and He's going to be in you. You are going to have the same reality you're having right now as you're dwelling with me. It's going to now become in you. But the world does not, cannot receive the Spirit, the Ruach, the wind of heaven, because it cannot see Him. What did Peter get his eyes on? The wind of the world. The wind of the world was contrary to what God had told them to do. The wind of the world was opposing. But Jesus says, I'm going away and I'm going to send to you the Ruach, the Word, the wind of heaven, who's going to be in you and with you. And if you go on later on, you know, John chapter 16, it says that He's going to remind you of everything that I said. He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to take from what is mine and He's going to reveal it to you. He is going to speak on my behalf so that you have everything you need. So you'll be able to do everything I'm telling you to do because the Spirit is going to speak. Okay, it's the same situation as Peter on the water. It's the same thing. You are going to step out in life. Holy Spirit, who's been given to you, the wind of heaven is a voice in you and He speaks to you and you believe Him. And when you believe Him, you're going to take risks. When you believe Him, you're going to start to do kingdom exploits. When you believe what the Holy Spirit is telling you and showing you and you act upon those things, you're going to be just like Jesus, who only did what He saw the Father doing and only said what He heard the Father saying. It'll be just like that for you. So here you are, living a life infused with the Holy Spirit, the wind of heaven. Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He's guiding you. He's leading you. He's reminding you of everything Jesus has already told you. And you forgot it, so what does He do? He reminds you of it again. Anyone ever have that moment? He told you at one point, and then when He tells you 2 years later, you go, oh yeah, you told me that before. We have an option. It is the ability to trust the voice of the Lord and keep your eyes on the wind. The world can't see, but you can. The world is having a difficult time seeing the effects of the Holy Spirit in the church. But you can. The world is going to have a difficult time being able to accept a healing revival. It's proven it over and over and over. I don't know why you would trust the reporter from CNN over believers who were there and saw it and experienced it themselves. The world cannot see it. The world's never going to see it. We spend so much time trying to defend our faith to a world that cannot see it. Okay, the problem is this, that the believers then take their eyes and their ears off of focusing on what God is doing, and then we begin to focus our eyes on what He's not doing. Where we get our eyes focused on everything out there, and then we're like, now we got to pray harder. No, you don't have to pray harder. Praying harder is not going to accomplish anything more than the death and resurrection of the Christ. You're not going to redo something that's already been done. We're supposed to be standing in the finished work, applying the finished work. But the problem is that the world is denying it. The wind and the waves are denying it. God doesn't heal today. Even the church has come to agree with this nonsense. You know why you can't see and you're not going to see miracles? Because you're not actually listening to what He is saying. Because you're focused on what He's not doing instead of looking for what He is doing. Instead of celebrating the little miracles that are happening every day in your life because of His mercy, you're watching CNN and getting your eyes fixed on the world, and you're freaking out about ISIS and freaking out about Islam, freaking out about politics, begging God that He would do something. And what He's saying to you is, if you'd stop looking at the garbage, start focusing on what I am saying, you would be the difference. When the church joined a political party, we lost influence. Don't screw this one up again. You are the influence. The Spirit of the living God lives in you and is restraining lawlessness in the world because you are listening to Him. Not because you get it in your mind you're going to go change media or change anything else. That's not why it's going to change. It's going to change because you, listening to the person of the Holy Spirit, are going to cause differences to happen because you're accessing by faith. Now, if He tells you, yes, go in there, report this, do this, make the movie, you know, write the script, write the book. If He's in that, then obey the word. But when the wind and waves kick up against you, don't be surprised. Don't drop the torch. It's an invitation to refocus on what He said and get your eyes fixed on Him. It's called living by faith for a reason. We live by faith, not by come on, did you get there? Okay, now can we just make some applications? What does that mean in my personal life? So, many of you know that I am a Packers fan. Listen to all the murmuring. That's awesome. I'm out of here. You can take it if I call you dumb, but you can't take it if I'm a Packers fan. I love it. That's great. Which, by the way, I apologize. I'm trying to fix that in me. I'll let you fill in the blanks there. So here's the deal. Nikki and I will be watching a game, and you know, and you know, maybe a bad couple calls are bad, or a series goes sour, or their team, you know, sacks the quarterback, or, you know, and I can feel the tide of the game shifting, you know? You know that feeling. You're Vikings fans. You know that feeling. Hey, you're gonna, all right, come on. So what begins to happen in me, this is what happens in me, it's called being a fair weather fan. What happens in me is that I will begin to criticize and I'll be frustrated because I'm focusing on the series that just happened, right? And my wife will be sitting back and she'll go, shut your mouth, speak life, you know, have faith, right? Have faith, right? See the unseen. You know, she's a very positive person. And I find myself in those kinds of situations. I'm extremely competitive. It bothers me when things go wrong, right? And so I can be sitting there and frustrated, or, you know, like even talk to the TV as if they're listening to me, you know. And I can be in this situation. And I'm hoping that I can somehow control the outcome of what I'm seeing. But what's really happened is that fear and doubt have entered into me. That fear and doubt have entered into my way of thinking and the way that I'm perceiving the game. Maybe it's a defensive mechanism within me. You know, I'm trying to protect myself from the years of pain that I experienced being a Vikings fan. It's funny, though, because we do this. We do this in our faith walk with Christ. See, you start to believe. And then a setback happens. The wind and wave are contrary, and you don't know why the wind and wave are contrary. I'm believing God. I'm walking with God. I'm doing what He told me to do. And now you're wondering why the waves are battering you. Why do you think the wind and waves are battering you? Because this world doesn't want to see the kingdom advanced. So you have a setback. Maybe something doesn't go your way. Well, if it doesn't go your way, what are you supposed to be doing? See, this is the problem. This is what happens in so many people, is that then we get focused on the last series of plays. And we begin to shift our whole belief system and our faith in Christ and what He has done based on the last series of plays. But if I think historically and I begin to think and conjure up and remember all the Super Bowl titles that the Packers have, I'll remember that this is a great team and that they probably are going to pull it out in the end. Did I lose you there? Is this the problem here? If you would intentionally be cultivating your mind towards what God has done and not be focusing on what He didn't do or what you don't see out there, but instead be focusing, feeding on His faithfulness, feeding on what He has done, focusing on what He is doing and not being offended by what He's not doing. Not being offended by what you hoped or you thought He should have done, but He didn't do. Instead, feed on what He has done and is doing. That's how you maintain an active faith. That's how you maintain it. You choose to look for, listen, when things don't go your way, I've had an afternoon like that. Things don't go your way. What do? I begin to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm not seeing what You're doing here. So Lord, would You please open my eyes to see what You are doing here? Because I don't want to get focused on what I'm not experiencing. I want to stay focused on what You are doing. You know, and sometimes it's like, hey, I'm working on your character. Go for it. Oh, awesome. Please forgive me. Right? And you don't miss then. You don't miss it. You don't get intimidated, and you don't miss it. This is called a walk of faith, and the whole point is that you and I are supposed to be focusing on remembering. I carry with me, I call them memory stones. If you come into my office, you ever see me in my office, you go in there and you're going to see like little tchotchke knickknacks pretty much on every flat space of whether it's my desk or on a bookshelf or whatever. And they're all memory stones. They're all memory stones. There's an eagle feather in there. That means something to me. There's a rock from the Areopagus in Athens where Paul on Mars Hill spoke and defended the faith to a bunch of intellectuals. I have a rock from there. I have a rock from the Mount of Olives. I have tree bark from one of those olive trees. I have memory stones that intentionally are continually reminding me. I keep them in front of me because I'm remembering His goodness. I'm remembering His faithfulness. You know, there are days when it's dark and it's frustrating and nothing is going your way. And you know how you get out of that funk? By feeding on what He has done. Don't get in fear and doubt and disbelief because your circumstances are against you. If the wind and waves are against you, amen, you're in good company. You're in good company. You believe what Holy Spirit has said to you. You focus your life on the person of Christ. Don't leave it. Focus.